Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. Here we are. My goodness, if you missed yesterday, you got to catch it. You know, we're just looking back on 50 years ago, August 28th, what happened in 1963 when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood as a man before God to begin to deliver us, America, to a place that was written way before his time, called the Constitution of the United States, and said, hey, I'm only holding you to what's written on the paper. And just like that prophetic word, and what I believe that he was an apostle, that this is what God's going to say to us. He's going to say to us, he's going to say, I'm only going to hold you what was written in the Bible. Just relax. Don't have to worry about it. I definitely would read it. It's kind of nice. It's like sort of like having the history in advance. You can find out what the judge is going to look at and determine which side you want to be on. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you this morning. One good reason why you want to get in the Word and kind of soak. I remember when I was a deputy and they had a standard evaluation form. I mean, it was standard for everyone. And you have to, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, a large body of employees and a variety of work and all that. But it was pretty simple. Each particular point, I think it was score, you get 1 to 8. Eight's really good. And I think 1, you're looking for another job. Not sure. I know there's a couple that probably need 1s right now in some locals. Anyway, so the... But what was interesting was each particular unique evaluation, if you get a 1, it had an explanation of what that meant. And if you had a 2, it had an explanation of what that one meant. Mm-hmm. And you had a 3, it had an explanation of what that one meant. But it wasn't concurrent. It wasn't like, you know, you got to do everything that you had in 1, and you got to do 2 to make a 2. Right. And then if you want to do, you make a 5, then you have to be able to do everything in 1, 2, 3. They're all like unique statements. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what you got to do if you want an 8 or whatever the number was. It could have been like soccer, like 3. Very low scoring game. I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, me, I'm looking and they go, wow, that's pretty. That's a description of how my future will look right there.
There it is.
I took that evaluation form and I put it on the visor of my my cruiser. And I was on patrol, and I would just make sure I did those, you know, 4 or 5 things, which I did anyway. But, hey, now I know, like, hey, that's, I'm qualifying for an 8, that was. And lo and behold, I got a 1. No message. No, I mean, it was just real simple to do. If you know what's expected of you, if you call yourself a believer, a Christian, you know what God expects of you, just do it. With a good heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be a deputy. I wanted to be in law enforcement. I liked what I was doing. Except for the times I was running for my life and somebody was shooting and stuff. But other than that, and a few muster room experiences, I enjoyed what I was doing. And so I wanted to do well. I wanted to do my job well. And it's very important, by the way, if you are in law enforcement, no matter how you feel, because of your authority and because of what you carry, guns, ability to lock people up and ruin their destiny if you don't do your job well, it's important for you to do your job well. And it's not, and we have to, you know, that's just part of that particular job. And if you start going for a period of time and you feel like you can't do it well and you're like you're 2 or 3 on the evaluation, it's just time to look elsewhere for another employment, because it's just we're putting too much trust.
No doubt.
You're entrusted with so much. And everybody, you know, they say a lot of people switch jobs. You know, they get tired of this job and they find another job. There's nothing wrong with that. And but once you start losing your desire and hope for mankind and wanting to do good towards your neighbor, and everybody is equal, deserves equal justice, and you know, you get a mindset like everybody's a dirtbag, you know, something like that. And you go through those moments because, by the way, because they only call you when bad things are happening. They don't call you, hey, just come over. We're having a family reunion. We got some chicken and dumplings and some fried chicken over here and some black-eyed peas. And we just want to come and just let you enjoy the celebration. They just call you at the end of the family reunion when Uncle Bob and Uncle Jim are at each other's throat because they had too much punch.
That's right.
And so you can have a tendency, if you don't have a life outside of that, that all of a sudden everybody's just, you know, causing problems, but they just call you when the problem's there. Mm. Sort of like fathers. No, anyway, so, and you can, but getting back to putting that evaluation form on my visor, I knew what was expected of me. You know, one thing I believe, I'm drawing, man, I'm pulling from the depths of historical events here, so I might get this wrong, and I'm sure it's changed by now. I hope it has. But it was like, you know, help your fellow deputy out, your fellow officer. You know, help them, assist them. You know, when they're on a call, you know, back them up and help them through things and just partner with them. Mm-hmm. And so instead of just sitting in a coffee shop or running radar because you want a whole bunch of tickets, you know, to be able to bring in, you know, each one has their own gift. And that was not my gift. But
writing tickets?
No, that wasn't my gift. Well...
I don't like that gift.
I just want to say I'm sorry to everybody I had to write a ticket to. And those ones serving 10 years, you know, it just was written in, it was, I'm just holding you what was written in the law. Anyway, so I was able to do what was there. And that's what you take scripture, like John used to do. Remember, he used to put it on a cue card and stick it in his dash. And
that's right.
I don't know how you could see it. His seat was so close to the steering wheel.
I could see it.
Could you see it? He had to read it like this. So the Lord, it was like, it was so close. I hit my chin on my knee when I rode with him once. No, seriously, just keep the word before you and be a doer of the word.
That's right.
You just look. He said, and God says, you know, lend to the poor. Stop your car. Stop texting anyway when you're driving. Don't even look at it. Just kind of look away from it, your phone, and look outside. And
stop
the skies are
me.
Blue. And understand that that guy on the side of the street or that lady or those kids, you can stop and give them something. And that's what God says. He says, he that lends to the poor lends to God. Mm-hmm. Or he said, go make disciples of the nation. If you know something in God, you should be teaching what you know to someone else.
That's right.
You shouldn't be bragging about, this is what I know. Well, who else knows that because you know that? You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, God comforted me. God comforted me and comforted us through these trials and tribulations so that in turn we can comfort you with the comfort God gave us. And it's like, so many people say, I have a testimony. God just really cushioned me through this. And the next thing is, the next part of the verse is, but who did you cushion? Who did you care for? Who did you comfort? Because now you know God would comfort. Mm-hmm. And, I pray God would comfort them too. And it's like, no, he actually would demonstrate his comfort through us. And that's one of the expectations.
Right.
So you can take the judgment evaluation and you can put it on your visor called the Word of God. And you can say, you know, I don't want to, you know, get a promotion or a raise here. But I want to do well before God. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So what does he want me to do? And you know, one of the things he says, whatever I've given you, I want you to invest it. Mm-hmm. You know, focus once a day, once a week, you know, I'm going to invest that thing. I'm going to invest that talent. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're a reader. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you make these widgets for yourself, but, you know, once a week you make widgets that you just give away. So God's blessed you with the ability to make that. And so you're making it for yourself. You're making it for yourself. But pause for a moment and make some for someone else and just give it away. I mean, God's into that. He's into us sharing that aspect of it. And in that, he says, you know, I'll bless you when you do this. I'll bless you. So I want to encourage you, if you want to pass your evaluation at the throne of God, am I missing it? Is this correct? I mean, isn't there expectations of us?
Real expectations.
Yeah. Y'all remember Pittman when he's like,
"Ooh,
let me evaluate you, God, in my life." Howard Pittman, he says.
Wrong move.
Yeah, wrong move. And so he showed up with his own evaluation of God in his life at the throne room of God. He died on an operating table, showed up with his own personal evaluation form, with a whole list of things that he thought should happen in his life. And needless, by the way, he died on the operating table. I mean, you think that would humble you, right? But in his spirit, he just showed up before the throne room of God, He didn't even make it into the room. He's standing by a, this is his testimony.
Outside the gate, wasn't it?
No, it was actually outside a door jam. You know what I'm saying?
How he under the threshold.
And it's Howard Pittman, he writes about it in the book, Gospels, I believe. Placebo Gospel. Placebo Gospel, not Gospels. And he has a list in his hand. Mm. And he's fixing to evaluate God. But how many people do you really know that really do? They really, God, this is what I want you to do. And it's like, I think that the sheriff's going to evaluate you. You're not going to evaluate, the deputy's not going to evaluate the sheriff. Right. You know, the chief is going to evaluate you. The police officer's not going to evaluate, you know what I'm saying?
Evaluating how good God did for them.
That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
You scored about an 80 on this, God. I really preferred a better job than this, but this will do. Thank you very much.
And your word says, yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm holding you to your word. And the next thing you're going to hear what Pittman heard was, oh, yeah, I'm holding you to my word, too. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, when he has this list in his hand, he's going to present this list to God. You got to read about this in the book, Placebo Gospel. It will change your perspective. It will definitely deliver you from the American placebo gospel that's taught in a lot of places. And placebo is a pill that looks like a pill, but it's nothing in it.
Fake.
Hollow, empty. And he has this list in his hand, and all of a sudden, imagine every storm that you've ever heard at the very same time. And we've heard a lot lately.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like that when we talk, and Pat's always like, oh, yeah.
Another revelation.
He used to have a really good memory. Now he just kind of stares. He does so much. Now, if you make in front of him that years down the road, and he's sitting there staring off into the horizon in his rocking chair, realize the man's done a lot.
That's right.
A lot. And just kind of like get him some warm milk or something. Anyway, so he'll go, oh, yeah. So here is Howard. Howard has this list in his hand. He's going to talk to God. And he's standing, imagine standing in the door jam, the doorway, but to the side. The angel set him to the side where he couldn't see in the door to the throne of God. So he's not even in the presence of God. Mm. Then all of a sudden, lightning and thunder and roaring and just shaking and quaking. And it was God talking.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he dropped his evaluation form.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Imagine that. Why wait till you get before the throne room of God to find out you're the one being evaluated, not God?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are criticizing or critiquing God because they fall into the deception of pride, when you're the one and we're the ones that are actually going to be evaluated before God. But he's given us the evaluation now. It's the word of God, and we can get into the word now, put it in the visors, the visual aspects of our life, and abide with him and just begin to do the word and find out, you know, we could do well on this exam. It's mm-hmm. an open book test.
Hello.
82% of you. It's an open book test. It's open book. I'll never forget when I was in school back in 18 and 12. Uh-huh. And I thought, oh, here comes a test. And they say it was an open book test. It's like this big sigh across the room, you know, not sigh. Let's just move on. But a big awe across the room. Like, oh, open book test. You know, open book test. And this is an open book exam.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to look intently in the word and study what's expected of you. And then you got to do what it says. So you're blessed in all you do. And when you stand before the throne of God, he's going to say, well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, which means you
did something.
Well, as they say, done stuff. You done did something. You done did something.
Right.
You know, not well, whatever, you know, is well done. And what happened was all of a sudden every storm kind of met at the same time. It was just the voice of God, and you could just feel the judgment of God. And it was just so hard. He dropped his little, you know, evaluation form. I think he was going to give God a 2 or something.
Mm.
And because he just had more things he felt he needed to progress in his job as God. You know right. what I'm saying? He needed to allow him to be sheriff in Louisiana yeah. somewhere. He needed to stay longer as a pastor at in a pastor. And in the context of that, he dropped that. And now he was just grabbing for life and thinking, it's over as I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And just this judgment began to just come out. Just the voice of God brought such deep conviction. It's like it could just feel the how God was upset. And then it was like it was over. I blew it. Everything I did, by the way, and he was a pastor for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing God a favor. We're not like, I just want to know I'm in here because I became a pastor. God says more in His Word about shepherds, false shepherds, pastors, than He does about false prophets. By the way, just so you know that.
Mm.
So we need to be, which means we developed our own evaluation form. That's what that means, by the way. It means that we just went our own way and did what was right in our own mind, and we didn't bother to look at what the judge was going to say, what our father was going to say when we come there. And, you know, and if your father gives you some expectations, believe it or not, I don't know, it might not be that way today in a lot of areas, but this is how fathers used to be. You better do it. You better do it. And when his car pulls up in the driveway, or, you know, like Pat, his limousine pulls up and his driver's open his door, you know, when you hear those feet coming into the footsteps coming into the house, I mean, you're like, boom, yeah. That's just his driver coming around. He's a big guy. Then you hear, click, tick, 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 tick. That's his tap shoes. He's coming out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, you know we're just joking.
You got a lot of jokes.
But, you know, do you remember that? I mean, do you remember? It's like, oh, my goodness, I remember we could clean the house when our parents came home between the driveway and the front door.
Hey, that thing's spotless.
We could clean, and it was amazing. It was horrifically hard to do when we had this free time, but we cleaned. But we knew what we were supposed to do. And today, it's like, you know, a father would show up, and nothing changes, and everybody's lounging around, and they had no idea that how important those expectations of their father was to them. And it's like this happening with God now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's an open book test. You can look and see what God expects from you. And you can look at the word that day, and then you can do what it says, you know, love people, help people, encourage people, teach people, disciple believers, tell people about the glory of God, you know, and watch the goodness of God. And then you can be comforted. Well, let me finish the story about Howard Pittman and before we go to break. There's good news about it, because he thought it was over. He thought it was over. He could feel the judgment of God and just the voice of God. Then all of a sudden, now that, as a good father would, God began, after dealing with his issues and his sin, his pride, then all of a sudden the father's heart, the balance of the kindness and the sternness of God, he first faced the sternness, but just like any father, all of a sudden, even though God was angry at me for what I did with the pride of my life and how I wasted my life and how I thought I was going to tell God what to do, now he's loving on me. And he could just feel the father's love as God was ministering to him. And it just blows your mind when you have balanced father leadership in your life. When it's not over because you get rebuked. You know, it's actually a good thing because you know that somebody's telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And God was speaking truth to him, because you think about it, if he wouldn't have repented, then he would have went with the 70% that he saw in this vision. You can get his book.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 70% that were going to hell. More were going to hell than were going to heaven.
Yes, for sure.
And he would have been that way if he would not have repented at that point. And then he just feels like, my goodness, the same God that was rebuking me, that I thought it was over, now he's loving on me. I can feel this deep, intense, fathering love. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
And it was this encounter with the kindness and the sternness of God with the father's heart so changed his life that all of a sudden, they said, now is not your time. The angel escorted him out of heaven. Boom, he came right back into his body. His body came alive again on the operating table, and he hit the road, and he didn't stop until he told everybody he could. He did not stop talking about the kindness and the sternness of God, about the placebo gospel that's being preached to people that says there's no expectations, you're not going to be evaluated, there's not going to be a day of judgment, you're not going to have to answer for what you didn't do or what you did do, and that the kindness and the sternness of God, the father's heart. Listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, but like any father, there's something you got to do in relationship. You got to look. It's an open book test. Look at the expectations of God, and his plans are good for you, plans to bless you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. He loves you, and he's got a plan for your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Can employees have religious material in open view in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a problem at work. I had a sign up on the wall that said Jesus is Lord. While I was on vacation, they took them all down and said that I can't do that anymore because it's illegal. And I was just wondering what I can do because I don't want to stop working there. I just want to be able to display my First Amendment right.
Sometimes these employers will react because they think if they allow a religious sentiment to be kept up in the workplace that they're creating a hostile work environment. And that's simply not true. The fact that someone, a co-worker, doesn't share your religious beliefs is not a basis upon which your religious beliefs are then censored. Now, the employer is given a lot of discretion. I mean, they could say we only want work-related material up in an office. They have the right to do that. Let me refer you to ACLJ.org. Great information on our website and really should be very, very helpful to you at work and get those answers resolved for you.
For more information about your rights at the workplace, visit us on our website at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about that after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you're a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon Says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus Says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7:22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you. A simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the earlier part of the program, you got to catch it. and understand that we're all going to be evaluated. It's not just your boss or your supervisor, and you're not going to be able to say, hey, I just want you. You're sitting with your boss, and you're a Christian. Imagine this. And you're going in to get evaluated for how well you're doing your job. And maybe you're a secretary, maybe you're a manager, maybe you're an officer, maybe you're a politician. And they say, hey, you know, I'm going to evaluate you on your job. And before they start getting to the details, you just go, I'm just going to plead the blood. And they say, okay, cool, okay, cool, got it. I love Jesus too, dude. But listen, it's not your spirit I'm worried about, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
It's your flesh, because your flesh is touching my stuff.
That's right.
That was
so
classic.
I'm going to evaluate. I'm Christian. I know Jesus. Me too, brother. But let me tell you something. We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right.
That's right.
We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right.
Well, I thought you was a believer. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book. I'm training you up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to show up like Howard Pittman with a list and just say, you know, I just plead the blood.
No, that's
and it's like,
right.
And Jesus is going to say, you're going to plead my blood? I got that part. Well, cool. Let's talk about what you did and you didn't do. And how foolish that sounds in the context of saying that to your boss. And although, by the way, I do know some bosses that have evaluated people have heard that. Yeah, I'm just trusting Jesus. Like, well, I'm trusting to you that you're going to do what I ask you to do too. And I'm praying to the same Jesus you're talking about that you're going to hear me and do the job, you know, so I don't have to give you a transition package into your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
What's else my destiny? Not here, you know? And so, how foolish that sounds before a man or a woman who's evaluating you for the job that you were hired for. When God says he didn't just save you to save you. He saved you for a call, purpose, a destiny. There's expectations from God. I mean, a judgment seat of Christ, come on. A judge is going to evaluate our lives. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we get in. But if that's the only thing that we profess, then we never were truly a believer. Because a believer who believes the chair will hold them will sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
A believer who believes in the evaluation form, this is how you live your life. They just do it because they believe that. So I want to encourage you, be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, not just a hearer, which would be merely deceived. But if you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do. I don't know if y'all heard about this. It's a brand new health care plan going on, and it's not even called a health care plan. It's in the Netherlands. I got a whole presentation for America. This may solve all the problems. I'm sure we're going to hear this all over the world. So prepare yourself. This is a brand new concept for America, not for anybody else, for us. And in the Netherlands, based on my understanding, and we're going to be able to show you more about this on the VFN Torch, is back in the 70s when President Jimmy Carter was the president, and there was a oil shortage and crisis. He just began to have the isolationist mentality and yada, whatever. And there's gas lines all over America, all over the world, really, but all mm-hmm. over America. And if you had an even number tag, something like that, you can get gas. If you had an odd number tag, you had to wait to the next day. So that's what happened up in Sandy. And Hurricane Sandy. Nothing personal, Sandy. We're talking about hurricane. And it just began to ration things. And so the comments were in the BBC reports here that the Netherlands, they said, we cannot have that again. That hit us so hard. We were so dependent on oil, foreign oil, that it just stopped everything. And so what they began to do, and it took them 40 years to get to the point they are today, they began to focus on other forms of transportation other than cars.
Well,
It's this thing, you're going to be really surprised. This whole new form of transport. I hear about it from history books. A bicycle.
Mm.
Wow.
A bicycle. Think about that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They travel continually, mostly, on bicycles. When you think about this, out of the modes of transportation that they have there in the Netherlands, 32.2% of the population, their mode of transportation is a bicycle. Now, there's 300 plus million, right, in America.
Right.
So what would be 31%? Figure that out. 31% of America on bicycles.
90 million?
So 90?
No.
No, we're waiting for...
Well, 10% is 33, so you're close, yeah. Close to 100 million.
90 to 100 million. 90 to 100 million. We got the thumbs up. We did good, didn't we?
Hey.
Yeah, right. The can you imagine 90 to 100 million people on bicycles?
No.
Anyway, first of all, I do want to say that I remember borrowing your bicycle once. I think it was your trike.
Really?
And yep.
The he had a seat. The seat was about the size of the ruler they gave you in the first grade.
How do you sit on that?
I don't.
I'm telling you, man.
I hover over it.
I'm thinking, I got on this thing and I made it maybe about 10 feet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What's happened to me? I'm thinking, but I started thinking back. I never sat on a ruler before. That wasn't what I was done. We had like banana seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And,
remember those?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, how can this man sit on the seat? And I thought, wow, I am such a wimp. I couldn't make it all the way around the block, you know, with that. And I'm thinking, wow. And people do ride on those seats, don't they? Did they?
Yeah.
No, it was like a ruler turned sideways. It wasn't even a ruler. It was really bad. And I just want to say that if you want to plenty of fruit in your life, you probably don't want to wear those kind of seats. But listen, they're riding their bicycles. Tricycles for transportation. That'd be 100 million people in America. And you think about China? I mean, it's this big, huge river of bikes going down the road. You've got to say the Netherlands. Let's say about the Netherlands. Because of the climate, they don't sweat.
Big difference.
But we have to have like showers every block down there. Well,
pretty hard riding the bike in the snow.
Yeah, New York's like, you know, the mayor's trying to put a bicycle every corner. We'd have to have a shower every corner.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
It's like, or maybe you can just use that.
See deodorant.
Maybe Rain-X. You know, you put Rain-X on you and it just somehow keeps the sweat off of you or something. But it's like with 98% humidity, you're going to be wet by the time you get there, especially the kind of shape we're in. Now, we're in shape. But it's probably not the kind of shape you need to be able to do that. But think about it, 31%. That's like 90 to 100 million people.
It's huge.
But this is the healthcare plan part of it. You're healthy. These skinny folks are on bicycles, riding around, all healthy and stuff. And it was like exerting energy for travel. I mean, Jesus walked in sandals. And here we are, and you know, John and I are in our Fiats, and Pat's in his limo. But the concept of it is this: and it's a truck limo. It's leather seat. Truck.
It does have leather seats.
It does
have nice leather seats.
Very, very nice leather seats. And we're just not putting out any energy. We're able just to intellectually move through this world and accomplish a lot. But at some point, if we just start thinking about, I don't know, maybe the mayor of New York has this down when he's putting in bicycle paths. I think personally, because he's a financial expert, he's preparing for what's probably going to happen in October, November, and what George Soros talked about. And I believe that he's preparing for, you know, a shortage in gas, because if the Middle Eastern war breaks out, you know, they're going to shut down our oil. You can have your limos or your Fiats, you know, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have any gas for it. So you might as well pull out the bike. But I got news for you. What I found out is you can get a 2x6 and take Pat's seat off the bike. Sit on a 2x6. Some people need a 2x12, and some people need...
Piece of plywood.
Are you talking about me?
Oh, I was looking at Pat, actually.
Were you?
No.
Ain't no comment.
Real quiet back there.
Well, anyway, And just what happens when you move your legs around in the circle, your bike, it goes, it causes it to go forward.
Kind of that works.
Well, I remember when I had gotten in the car accident and had this trainer helping me, you know, build my strength back up and put you on a bicycle. And you have that early view of bikes, you know, you're thinking, well, this is nothing. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of mountains in our area, but we do have bumps. And I'll never forget, I was on this bike and I was just flying down this bump, this hill. And I thought, man, this is a breeze. But it was a cul-de-sac hill. So it went all the way down, which means I had to come all back. There was no turning a corner. And I know they probably see people on that road all the time, sit on their front porches and watch people start paddling back up that hill. Man, I was shifting first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. Man, I had all kinds of gears going on trying to get that thing up. And my thighs, my thighs were just burning. And that's before I realized you could extend your seat because my legs are longer than
most.
Why'd you wink at John? I was trying not to look that way. And if you actually stretch your leg out, it doesn't burn as bad because it has more of a hip and all that stuff going into it, which was a miracle in itself. But, you know, I lost a lot of weight doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the Lord saying? Maybe it's.
So the.
It's a revelation now. I mean,
it's a revelation. But sad to say, I packed my bike up and I can't find it nowhere.
You know what? I know where it's at.
Oh, there you go. We can help you. Can help you with this.
No, he don't know he don't know where the landline is for that computer. We know where that big old bicycle is.
Hey, we're trying to help you.
Right, you left it.
Sarah, I mean, after a while, you just want to see new areas and new territory. You kind of like, you know, there's the bush, there's a tree, there's Miss Jones,
That's what I enjoyed about driving, you know, riding a bike there in New Jersey.
Driving
until I found that it was more adventurous than seeing the scene. You're riding the bike on the bush, you know, seeing the bushes and the trails.
They have bushes in New Jersey?
No, not where I was riding my bike.
Yeah, they work better when you stay on them.
Yeah,
Oh, he went over the handlebars.
That was in Central Park. We're not talking about that scenario right now. We're not talking about
three times.
Yeah, about seven to three times.
See, I wasn't going to bring that up. I was
trying
to
say. Trisha told me she was sticking something in his spokes. No, she
as
didn't.
I was saying, you know.
Okay, what now?
But you're riding your bike in the country, in the open field. You get to see grass and bushes and trees and stuff
a yard, so you can relax. In New Jersey, they call it yard country.
Well, yeah, when you're riding, riding a bike, you know, in a more city environment, you can speed up and you can be in the street, but then you realize that there's cars that come in and out, there's blocks that you got to stop at, or someone can surprisingly open their car door.
Yes.
And you can go flying.
Yeah.
So talk about adventure. I mean, although it was fun and you saw a whole lot more, I mean, then, of course, there's the big pothole that if you fall in there, it's over with.
Yeah, some of the potholes are so big right there, you can just, we're going to work out riding around in the pothole.
You're done. Yeah. Oh, I'm climbing back out. It's mountain biking.
Yeah, pothole bike.
Ugh.
But, you know, and they have a concept of 31%. And think about it. They can continue their economy now because it's built around. They invest like 10% of their budget to fit people who ride that form of transportation, which means business, location, how stores are located, how you can shop, and all. They built the whole concept around that.
Do we have pictures of this? Do we have?
Yes, we're going to make it available. By the way, Hungary has 19% of their folks on bikes. Germany has 13%. Wow. Italy has 4%. Ireland has 3%. France has 2%. United Kingdom, who's trying to push this, has 2%. Spain has 1%. And America has three guys that ride around their bicycles.
We're not even on the list.
And it ain't us.
And that's in San Diego. And then we have two other guys up in Washington and Spokane, Washington, I think, that ride their bikes up there. And we're just, you know, we're just observing. We're just thinking maybe this can lower our premiums down if we do this thing called exercise.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that, that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. Is there something? We prayed. We prayed for a long time. You know, we pray. We pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking, and it came to a point. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken, and so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap and barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed, you have a great healthcare alternative we just talked about. The Netherlands are kind of setting the example right there. Imagine 90 to 100 million Americans on bikes.
Scary. Or at least John.
Well, I can imagine being,
hey, I ride
well, imagine being where, you know, Brett and Sharon is with the mountains. It's like, throw a rope down, hook it to my handlebars, pull me up, crank me up. You know, but I just want to give a big shout out to my son-in-law, Chuck Walters, because tomorrow they'll be having a ceremony impinning his captain bars on him.
Congratulations.
With the fire department, and he's done so well and worked so hard, and they're having a ceremony in downtown Pensacola to be able to honor the firefighters, and he will get his captain pins.
Oh, wow.
His captain pins. He's doing such an excellent job, you know, working with raising his sons and my grandsons, and I got a chance to be able to spend some time with David, my oldest grandson, and, you know, Chuck takes some farming. They farm peanuts. They farm cotton. He harvests. He goes in to help harvest it. And he's grown gardens in his property, and the boys have worked it. David's done a lot of the work. And
that's awesome of his work.
And they've even raised pigs.
Oh yeah.
As a matter of fact, this you got to hear this, you know. And David is explaining to me. He and I are having dinner out, and so you're hearing some restaurant noise when we're talking. But I'm asking the question about these pigs. I mean, who raises? This is so important. I mean, if I'm hungry, I'm going to go to my son-in-law's house because he can grow food and he can farm food. And here he is, David, my grandson, at 12 years old, is talking about how to raise a pig. And you can hear my viewpoints as well when I talk to him.
You got to explain this to me. So you raised a pig.
Yes. And then
how old was the pig?
The pig was at least 2 years old when we killed it.
You killed the pig?
To eat it. It's good. It's perfect size baby back ribs.
Oh, my goodness. You ate its ribs?
Maybe.
What was the name of the pig?
One of them was Charlie Brown.
You ate Charlie Brown?
We had to. He got loose.
And you killed him because he got loose?
No, because we couldn't catch him.
But you didn't clean the pig?
Yes, we did. We cleaned the pig.
You said you never bathed the pig.
We don't bathe it when it's alive. We clean it when it's dead. And
well, why does he need a bath if he's dead?
Because just to get all the dirt off his skin so he can have bacon.
He didn't want no bacon if he was dead. You ate bacon off the pig, off Charlie Brown?
And we had a lot of different named pigs, I forgot.
So you raised this pig from a little piglet?
Mm-hmm.
What did you feed it, like steak and stuff?
We fed it leftovers and everything they could ever dream of.
Were they picky?
No. They ate everything.
Really?
They ate the fence.
That's why they're called pigs.
They ate a hole in the fence. That's how they got loose.
And y'all shot them because they got loose. So, you didn't give it a bath?
Because we couldn't catch them. They're wild pigs.
You raised a wild pig?
Mm-hmm.
So, did it taste wild?
No. How
did you cook it? Did you, like...
Dad put it in the oven. Dad grilled
it. The whole pig in the oven?
No. We sold some of it, though.
How big was this pig?
Remember we gave you some?
No, I didn't have no pig. How big was the pig? It could fit in the oven.
Built, like,
missed that part. Yeah.
You have to imagine. I'm talking about this.
Stop the interview.
I'm having barbecue pork. I'm having barbecue pork while I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
Right? At Smokey's. Right. I'm actually eating barbecue pork. Delicious barbecue pork. And we're talking about this. But it's so cool. You're listening to a young man. How many young men do you hear today that's been raised this way? Where he's raising a pig. Of course, I'm having fun with it.
Mm.
And he don't know he's being recorded at this point until afterwards. And we laugh all the way through it. And so he's explaining the pig. Charlie Brown. No, he named his pig.
Wow.
But first they shot him. I mean, my goodness. Listen up.
Did that fit in your oven?
He didn't.
You just said
we
he
cut
some...
him up.
Oh, my goodness.
Stuff.
You cut the pig?
Yeah, but we can't eat before we do it, though.
Why?
Because we'll throw up.
So the pig, the reason why it fit in the oven is because you cut the pig.
Yeah.
Dude. Charlie Brown, you cut Charlie Brown. But he was dead, I guess he didn't say
Charlie Brown the pig, yes.
Not did you have a nightmare or anything like that?
No. They're pigs.
Well, you did eat a lot tonight.
True.
Is that a pig? No. So
I'm a pig.
So you oink, oink. So then did you put it in the oven, right?
Ow.
Now look at that. And so you barbecued it? Not all of it, because you cut it off.
No.
Like cut a leg off or something and do it in the oven? Or?
No.
What?
You don't know what we do. We cut out all this nasty stuff.
Whoa.
We have to. And then we get all the good stuff. No. We wouldn't eat all the nasty stuff. And then we get all the good stuff. And then we eat that after we cook it.
Well, what's the nasty stuff?
The nasty stuff is guts.
You don't eat guts? It tastes different than the other stuff?
It tastes like poop. That's what other people have said.
Well, oh, yeah, try it.
No, I don't want to eat that. That's nasty.
Whoa. So you'd like cut a leg off and throw it in the oven.
No.
Where'd you put the rest of the pig, though? That's what I'm trying to think.
In the freezer.
Your freezer is that big?
They're all separated. Like all the bacon, all the sausage, and all this other stuff. Separated into different bags.
Bacon comes from pigs?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it?
What part of the pig?
Good question. I forgot.
Did you taste it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it good?
Tastes like pig.
What does it feel like eating your pet? Did it feel
kind
weird?
Of upsetting.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting at the same time. It's like, but I don't want to eat my pet daddy. That's what Charlie said. He's like, I don't want to eat our piggies, though. But it, and then Dad's like, well, it's pig belly. And Charlie's like, ooh, pig belly. And he just ate it all.
What's a pig belly?
Pig belly is bacon.
Oh, is that where the bacon's on the belly?
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering what you're hearing my grandson and I, David, are having barbecue pork dinner at a local restaurant. And he's explaining to me his experience in raising pigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad took him through the process of raising pigs, and they had to, you know, prepare it and all that. And he's explaining, so I'm asking him all these fun questions about it. And he knows later he's being recorded. At this point, he didn't know. He's just kind of having this conversation with me, and I'm having fun with it.
So, did y'all eat the nose of a pig?
No.
Isn't that a ham? Looks like a ham, don't it? Like the nose is like a ham?
Nose is not ham.
Oh, it's not? What's a ham? Where's a ham? Yeah.
It's called... We didn't get ham from the pig.
Didn't?
No. I thought you get ham from a cow.
That'd be a roast.
Oh.
So what about... So you didn't eat the eyes or the ears or the toenails?
No.
What'd you do with all that?
Why would you... throw it away.
Did you grow a new pig?
Yeah, we had to. But it's a good burial ground at the dump.
Did it grow a new pig? I mean, how'd you get another pig?
We had 6 pigs.
You killed them all?
We had to.
My goodness. You ate all of that?
Mm-hmm. By the way, on the way out, I want a toothpick. I need one.
Me too. So, how'd you put 6 pigs in your refrigerator?
They were all separated to different kinds of bacon, sausage, and all that other good stuff.
Is it separated a nice word for you cut them all to pieces?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness, you cut them all to pieces. What would you recommend to somebody that wanted to raise a pig? Would you tell them to do it?
No, I just tell them not to do it. It's very sad.
Is it? It would be sad, wouldn't it?
I don't like eating my own animals, but it was good.
So now, when was Charlie Brown looking at you when he got put to sleep?
Nope.
He looked away or something? Was he like...
He was running away. Because he just wanted to enjoy the area. Then he came charging for Dad, so Dad had to shoot him.
Charlie Brown don't hurt nobody. Oh, it's not Charlie Brown. It's the pig was named Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. It's a wild pig.
Yes.
Did he have, like, horns and stuff? Like?
No, not yet. They were growing them.
Oh, it really was wild. So you don't eat the T-nail? You don't eat the, you eat the intestines?
Ew.
Why not?
Because it's nasty.
Those are called chitlins.
Yes, you are listening to my grandson explain his farming experience, and you can hear the whole thing on the VFN Torch. He and I were at a local restaurant, and he was just talking about, and it's just a unique thing. I mean, how many people listening right now, I know in America, and we have listeners around the world that you probably are raising, you know, a cow or a pig or something like that. But a lot of Americans right now are not raising the animals that they're eating. They don't realize that the pork sandwich actually came from a pig,
mm-hmm.
or that the burger they're eating at the local burger store came from a cow, and or the bacon at their breakfast came from the belly of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
It came from a belly of Charlie Brown.
Dad.
Love you, David. Enjoyed it, man. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you, to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.